found in the book of Jonah, the last chapter. We were speaking to you last Sunday when we closed the lesson, how that the king had issued a proclamation unto the people in Nineveh that everyone should humble themselves and go in sackcloth and ashes and cry mightily unto God. For he says, who can tell whether God will turn from the fierceness of his wrath? I ended up speaking to you upon this particular subject, saying that these people did not know whether God would turn from the fierceness of his wrath or not. But who can tell? They were commanded then to turn from their evil ways and to pray mightily unto God that he might turn. I speak unto you, if you remember, that this was a very encouraging word for every person that was listening to me. Who can tell whether God will turn from the fierceness of his wrath? Realizing that we all deserve his wrath, realizing that he would be just if he did not turn from the fierceness of his wrath over you and I. It leads us to come to the feet of Christ and beseech him with a who can tell whether he will have mercy upon us. I entreated every one of you, as if you remember, to go on your knees and cry mightily unto him that he might turn from the fierceness of his wrath and from his anger towards you because of your sins. And now what happened to these Ninevites? They believed the preaching of Jonah. And we read that they turned from the evil of their ways. They repented of their iniquities. And God saw their works. And God was pleased with what he seen taking place in Nineveh. And God repented of the evil that he said that he would bring upon them. All my hearers, have you ever had what these Ninevites have had? They were told by the prophet Jonah that in 40 days Nineveh would be overthrown. You have heard, probably since you were unable to understand the gospel, that if you do not turn from the evil of your ways, you will be overthrown in hell below. Have you ever received a message like these people did? Have you ever been given to repent, even outwardly? Have you ever turned from the evil of your ways? Have you ever been given to cry mightily unto God with a who can tell? He might be merciful unto me. God saw this. He saw what the Ninevites did. Has he seen you? Have you been brought there, my hearers? God was well pleased with what the Ninevites did, although it was only outwardly. It caused him to repent of the evil that he intended to bring upon them. See in this, my hearers, that God is to be entreated. Even where wrath is deserved, God will listen to a poor sinner who cries mightily unto him with who can tell whether he will turn from the fierceness of his wrath over me, who deserves it so justly. Oh, this great God in heaven above isn't like you and I, my hearers. It says here, God repenteth of the evil that he spake that he would do unto them, and he did it not. God don't have any sorrow for anything that he ever did. A repentance is not to be found in God. God is an unchangeable being. His word most certainly shall be fulfilled. And this word that Jonah proclaimed was, after 200 years, fulfilled upon Nineveh. But where God saw these people turning from the evil of their ways, he was moved with pity, with compassion, and with mercy to turn likewise from the word that he had spoken unto them at that present time. Oh, what a wonderful God we have to deal with, my hearers. Oh, he is a merciful God, as we see even over the Ninevites. And now coming into the first verse of the next chapter, we read, and it displeased Jonah very much. And he was very angry. Why was he angry? Why was he displeased? Who can understand this prophet? He was displeased because God saw what the Ninevites were doing and that they repented of their evil ways. He was displeased with God and angry with God that God didn't do what he had proclaimed was going to be done. He wanted Nineveh overthrown. He was then displeased with God's dealings. You would say, how is it possible that a prophet who had been sent by God with such a message and had such a wonderful blessing upon his word, that he should be displeased and angry with God, flying in the face of God? Does that happen yet today? Oh, yes. You take a person that don't care about God. He lives an ungodly life. He's a sinner, and he declares it with everything that he does. And God enters into that person's heart. God converts that person. God changes him. God forgives that sinner. Is everybody pleased with it? There are a lot of church people that would not be pleased with the proceedings that were going on in such a person's heart. Oh, Jonah, he isn't dead yet, my hearers. That corrupt nature of Jonah dwells in I and in you too. Displeased that God saved the Ninevites. Displeased that God saves one of the greatest and one of the vilest of sinners in our neighborhood, we'd say. Why couldn't he take a person who goes to church, who attends worship, who's seeking him, who's longing to be saved? He passes that person by and he takes such a creature. Oh, the enmity, the rebellion that rises up in our hearts because God does this. Jonah isn't dead yet, my hearers. Jonah was displeased with what God did and angry with God. Have you ever been displeased? Have you ever been angry with God? Are you always satisfied with what God does to you, be it in providence or be it in grace? I should say not. If you know yourself a little bit, you have a nature which is just like Jonah's. And now, my hearers, we find that Jonah, he begins to pray. He prays and he says, was not this my saying, Lord, when I was back in my own country? Therefore I fled from before thee unto Tarshish, knowing that thou art a gracious, merciful, and slow to anger, and filled with loving kindnesses. Jonah, he's speaking now of something that we don't read about in the first chapter. We read God commanded him to go, and he didn't go. He went the opposite way. But now he says why he went the opposite way. Why? Well, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He thought that God, he's such a merciful God, he's such a good God. If I go to Nineveh and I preach to them, well, they're liable to believe it, and they'll repent. And this God, he'll repent of the evil that he's going to bring upon him. Therefore, this is what I said when I was back in my own country. He comes back to it. He justifies himself in fleeing away from God and going to Tarshish. Can you understand this man? He's displeased with God. He's angry with God. He's flying in the face of God with his prayer, trying to tell God that just what he had thought and just why he had run away had taken place now. That's why he hadn't want to go to Nineveh. Oh, my hearers, this man Jonah, in this respect, Oh, what a creature he is. And have you ever learned yourself to be such a creature? Now this man, Jonah, he deserved that God should be angry with him, that God should be displeased with him, and that God should overthrow him into hell. And God did not. I marvel at this God that I worship. I marvel at his loving kindness, at his mercy even over Jonah, standing up against God, lying in his face, and still God is so merciful by heavens. He comes to Jonah, and he says unto Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Jonah didn't answer him. He didn't say anything to him this time. He was so angry with God that he wouldn't go any further into the city to preach, but he went outside of the city, on the east side of the city. And he went there and he made himself a booth, and he sat under it. He waited to see what would happen to the city. This man, Jonah, he built himself a booth. You read of Jacob building booths too. They're sort of canopies. They got four poles and you got a piece of canvas over the top, and they do this to keep the animals covered, and even the Israelites built these, and they dwelt in them. Now this man, he built this booth so that he would be under the shadow of this booth so that the sun wouldn't beat down upon his head. But in obstinacy, in perverseness, he went to see what would become of the city. He wanted his preaching to be fulfilled. And that's why he went there to sit there to see if God would do as he had said unto the Ninevites would take place. And there he's sitting, my hearers, under this booth. And now we find that God, he's so moved with compassion towards this man. I don't know if you or I had ever had that compassion towards any person like this, but God did. And God let a gourd grow up. A tree. A wonderful tree. It came up in one night. And it spread its branches abroad. And it was a shade for Jonah. So these trees, called gourds, they're a species of the Palma Christi. A sort of a tree, something like our lily. Only it grows much higher, and it grows into branches, and it has immense leaves on it, green and black spots on them. The Jewish people, they planted these trees in the front of their shops where they had business for shade. Sometimes they went outside of their shops and they sat under them to find refreshment. And now God made this tree to come up in one night. It was an extraordinary tree. It was God that did this. And it must have been a very sturdy tree. And it must have been an immense tree for the extensiveness of its branches and of its leaves. For it was a good shadow for Jonah. Why, Jonah, he was so pleased with that tree. Why, that was such a wonder to him. And he sat under it and he enjoyed himself under it. And there he sat, waiting to see what would take place with the city of Nineveh, thinking that surely it would be overthrown. But now God caused a worm to come, and it struck at that tree. And this tree withered. Just as fast as it had come, the tree withered. Jonah, he had been so pleased with this gourd. But now, when God struck at it and took it away, he became angry again. And God caused an east wind to come up, and the sun beat vehemently down upon his head. They say this east wind was something that all the Ninevites were afraid of, and all the people in those countries, because this east wind was so hot and so destructive to human beings that they dreaded it. and this east wind and the sun beat it down upon Jonah. You can just imagine how he felt after being under the shade of such a nice tree, and now there he was. And now he was angry. Angry because God had taken away the gourd. So this man, one moment he's angry, and the next moment he's pleased. He was angry with God because God spared the Ninevites. He was pleased because God made this gourd to come up. Now God took it away, he's angry again. So angry, he says, he was angry enough to die. He didn't even want to live any longer. He cared not no more about living. He didn't want Nineveh to be spared, and he didn't care any more about his own life. How terrible was this man in his obstinacy, in his perverseness, and in his rebellion. This man, Jonah, he had seen God do a miracle, do a wonder. He himself had been the experience of a miracle and being saved. And now God made this tree come up in one night. Now this tree, my hearers, it resembles, as you read in Psalm 37, I have seen the wicked in great power, and he has spread himself as a green bay tree. Oh, this man, this tree resembles a person who becomes a Christian overnight. You have people. Oh, they're big Christians in no time. Oh, they have such wonderful things about them, and they have good deeds, which are just like the leaves on this tree. And they receive a name and a fame, and so many people think that they are true Christians. But just like this tree, withered away in one night because God sent a worm into it, so these Christians, sometimes just a small thing takes place in their life and their Christianity is gone. It's withered away just like nothing. Now we can take this gourd too for various things that we all have. We are well pleased with things that happen to us in Providence, especially if they go our way. Especially if God blesses us and gives us many things that we delight ourselves in and find comfort in them, regardless of what it may be, whether it be a home, whether it be a material thing, whether it be a child, whether it be a wife. And how sometimes God does just like he did with this tree. He took this gourd away. Sometimes he takes away the nearest and the dearest possession that we have. He is righteous in doing so. He sometimes takes away the position that we have in life. We have been elevated. We have been respected. We have been given wisdom and understanding, and then something happens, and we are removed out of that position. We lose that position that we had, which afforded us a very good livelihood. Something that we don't like, something that we think God shouldn't do. That God removes various things that we have upon which we have set our affections upon. And we delight ourselves in them, and God makes them wither. And if you are a child of God, as I read this morning, he does that to lead you to himself, so that you will find your pleasure and your comfort in him and in him only. This gourd was taken away, and there Jonah sat. And he was so despondent that he wanted to die. You know, this happens even to ministers of the gospel. There may have been a minister that you've read of already. I have. You know, ministers, they travel. They go from one church to another. And some of these ministers, they have their hearts set upon certain individuals that they wish to see God would convert. And they preach, and they exhort, and they go to some places which they don't like to go to. They don't have a heart to go to, but they're commanded to go there. And now that place, which they didn't like, which they didn't care about, God blesses the message there. There's sinners born again. You think that servant is pleased with that? He's just like Jonah. Why don't God convert these people that I like? Why don't my will be done? Ministers aren't any different than Jonah, my hearers. Now that happens in the course of ministry. I've read it myself in several acts of some ministers. Oh, they had their eyes set upon some individuals. But no, God picked some poor creature who they knew not and who they cared not about. And they became angry with God. And Jonah was angry with God because God had blessed his ministry, but not to the persons that he wanted it blessed to. How different Jonah should have been. Jonah, he had been saved himself by God, by a miracle. And now God saved the Ninevites because they repented and they turned from the evil of their ways. Why, you would have thought that he would have went amongst them people and said, listen, oh, I'm a sinner too. I didn't care no more about my life. I just threw it away. But that God who turned used people, he's the God that I love, that I adore. Why, he would have had an open door in Nineveh to speak to them people. But no, he was opposed to them people. They were heathens. They weren't worthy to be saved, he thought. And therefore he was angry even unto death. He didn't want to see anything more of Nineveh. He didn't want to see their repentance. He didn't want to hear of it. Take me away, he says. Let me die. And now God comes to him again. And God says unto him, you are displeased because of this gourd, which you didn't labor for, he says. It came up in the night, and it was destroyed in the night. And now, he says, should I not have mercy upon Nineveh, where there are over 120,000 inhabitants that know not their right hand from their left, and much cattle? This tree had come up in the night and it had gone away in the night. And Jonah had nothing to do with it. But these people, they hadn't come up in the night. Every one of those people had immortal souls. And God was looking at those people. Oh, God takes such great pains, my hearers, with sinners, because the soul is of such an immortal value. And God, he withholds his judgments because sinners may be led to repentance, just as the Ninevites were. Therefore he spake in this manner unto Jonah, teaching Jonah that these people in Nineveh were of more value than that gourd that he thought so much of. And why should not God spare these people? Now, if you read the commentary about this last verse in this particular chapter, the commentary says that these 120,000 people that knew not their right hand from their left were all children. I don't agree with that, but that's the commentary's version of it. And the commentary goes on to state how that heaven will be flooded with millions and millions of children, where it states that they knew not their right hand from their left. Now this is only a version of the commentary. I will leave it with you what you want to believe. I'm not insisting upon it, because I don't agree that there were so many children in Nineveh besides the mothers and fathers. It must have been an immense population then in that particular city. But I believe that they were so ignorant. They were so blind. They were so stupid in the way in which God saves sinners that they knew not their right hand from their left concerning the way of salvation. That I think God meant when he spake unto Jonah in this way. And now this concludes our lesson upon the book of Jonah. Our next lesson would be about Gethsemane. But I'm going to pass by this lesson, and I'm going to start where the other classes have also caught up to. That is, their lesson today is about Jesus before the Sanhedrin and Peter's denial. Now we find that Christ, he had gathered his disciples together and he had instituted the Lord's Supper at the last Passover, and he had spoken unto them what would take place with himself, how that he would be treated, how that he would be taken with wicked hands, and how that he would be crucified. And he spake unto his disciples that they all would be offended at him that night, and that they would all leave him. And we find Peter, the boldest of the disciples, saying that if they all became offended at him, not him. No, he wouldn't become offended at Jesus. Why, he was ready even to die for Jesus. What made Peter speak like this, my hearers? It was the love that Peter had for Jesus in his soul. And it was that Peter knew so little of himself. Peter knew not his weakness. He knew not that he had no power to overcome even one sin. He had to be taught this. But it was out of the abundance of love towards the Lord Jesus that he sent, that he would never become offended at Christ, and that he was ready to die for him. Have you ever experienced something of the love of Christ in your souls, my hearers? Has God ever shed abroad in your soul his wonderful love? Oh, then you know and understand a little why that Peter spake this way. When this love is in exercise, oh, I wish I had a tongue to describe what goes on in a person's soul. The tender feelings that such a person has. Oh, what he sees in God at that time. He has not a tongue to speak out. Oh, how he loves this God, and how he has in his heart that he would want to do anything for this God. Yea, many, my hearers, when under the influence and exercised by this love, have prayed that God would put them in his service, that God would make them ministers of the gospel, that he would use them in his vineyard, that he would give them a chance to show how much that they loved him. They had so much love in their hearts towards God. And Peter, at this present time, was so filled with this wonderful love. To think that he would become offended at him, oh, that was an impossibility on Peter's side.